The reading this afternoon is taken from Exodus chapter 12, verses 3 to 7, 12 to 13, 24 to 32, and then from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 28 to 29. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbour, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. On that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe the ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does the ceremony mean to you, then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner, who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. During the night Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and go. And also bless me. By faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned.
Good morning. As we listen to God's word this morning, let's start by praying. Father in heaven, your word is living and active, sharper than the sharpest double-edged sword. Please speak to our hearts this morning and help us to respond by trusting you and sticking with the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. As many of you know, in normal circumstances, Harriet and I and the children would be in the Gambia teaching and training Bible teachers. Now, the Gambia is a small country of about 2 million people. 90% of them would be Muslim and about 5% Christians. And most of the time, Muslim-Christian relations are pretty positive, pretty good. But as we've been there over time, we've realised that it's very hard for a Muslim to become a Christian. And not long after we'd moved out there, we met a man called Mustafa. And he'd just become a Christian. And he told us that as a result of becoming a Christian, his family had disowned him. They'd kicked him out of the family compound. They'd taken away his taxi, his way of earning money. And he'd really lost everything. Very, very hard circumstances for him. Now, I want you to imagine that you'd met Mustafa and he came to you and said, is it worth being a Christian? Is it really worth it? What would you say to him? How would you encourage him? Now, Mustafa's experience is relevant to our reading this morning because the Bible passage we've had read, just the two verses, Hebrews 11, 28 to 29, were written to Christians who were going through a similar situation to Mustafa. See, they faced suffering for being Christians. They'd faced insult, they'd faced persecution, some had been put in prison, some had their possessions taken away. And so this letter, Hebrews, is written to them to keep them going as Christians, to tell them, yes, it's worth it. It's worth sticking with Christ. And I hope you can see that what they need to hear is actually what we need to hear in our circumstances in 21st century England, in the UK. You see, we live in a culture, don't we, where every week it seems to be harder and harder to be a Christian, or to be a public Christian anyway. Of course, no one minds you saying you go to church, or no one minds you saying you're a Christian. But as soon as you voice a non-politically correct, non-so-called progressive, non-woke opinion, then all of a sudden you can be ostracised from society, whether that's friends, family, colleagues. And so the temptation for all of us at some point or another will be to pack in living for Christ. The cost is too high. It's just not worth it anymore. Well, if that's a temptation for all of us to give up, then what's the encouragement that we need to hear to keep going? Well, Hebrews 11 has been full of encouragements to keep going. But as we reach verse 28 and 29, the encouragement slightly changes. So far, we've had the promises and rewards before our eyes for those who persevere. But now it's as if we're told or we're warned of the consequences of what will happen if we stop following Christ. And these verses, verse 28 and 29, remind us of the two great escapes that happened during the Exodus in the Old Testament. That's the Passover and the Red Sea. So let's start verse 28 with the Passover. We're told, verse 28, by faith Moses kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. God had told Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, to let God's people, the Israelites, free from slavery. And despite the first nine plagues, Pharaoh would not let the Israelites go. It was only after the 10th plague, the Passover, that Pharaoh let the people go. We heard a bit about the Passover in our first reading. God was going to send his angel, or in Hebrews language, he was going to send the destroyer to kill the firstborn of every family in Egypt. There was only one way out. A lamb could be sacrificed and his blood applied to the doorposts of the home of that Israelite household. And God said that when the angel came and God saw the blood applied to the doorposts, the destroyer would pass over that household and not bring death. In other words, there was actually going to be a death in every home. The question was, who was going to receive that death? Who was going to die? Was it going to be the firstborn son of the family, or was it going to be the lamb? Now, Moses heard this and he understood it and he put his trust in it. That's why in Hebrews 11 it says, by faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood. Moses believed the judgment was coming. He knew that the only place for safety was in the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. And so he put his trust in the lamb, and that's what all Israel did. Now, again, we might be thinking, well, what's the relevance of this to the Hebrew Christians? Why is the writer reminding them of their history? Well, in the same way that the Israelites had to put their trust in the Passover lamb in the face of God's judgment, so too did the Hebrew Christians have to put their trust in Jesus' death on the cross in the face of the coming judgment. And that's true for us. We all face a judgment. You see, Hebrews has all reminded us of when that judgment takes place. Listen to a few chapters earlier, 9:27-28. Just as people are destined to die once and after that face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. But the Hebrew Christians were thinking of leaving Christ because they were finding the opposition just too great. It had ground them down. It was too big. So the letter goes on to warn them of the severe consequences of leaving Christ. This is chapter 10, verse 29-31. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And let me paraphrase that. The writer of Hebrews is basically saying, if you leave Christ, if you say he's not worth living for, then what hope will you have on God's day of judgment? Or again, to put it another way, when judgment comes, only Christ's blood can save. When judgment comes, only Christ's blood can save. So stick with him. That's what the Passover warns us of. Now, more briefly, let's look at the crossing of the Red Sea. You see, after the Passover, Pharaoh lets the Israelites go, but then he changes his mind and he chases them with horses and chariots. The Israelites get hemmed in. They've got the Red Sea in front of them and they've got the Egyptians behind them, chasing them very aggressively. But God miraculously rescues them again as he parts the Red Sea and the Israelites go through on firm ground. Again, listen to Hebrews 11:29 now. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Now, what I think is really significant here is the contrast the letter draws between the people of Israel and the Egyptians. Or you could say the people of faith and those who didn't have faith. The people of faith passed through, but the Egyptians drowned. Now, we've just seen from the Passover, haven't we, that when judgment comes, only Christ's blood can save. So stick with him. But now he's sort of saying the same thing in a slightly different way. When judgment comes, only Christ's people will be saved. So stick with them. He's drawing a contrast. He's saying that you're either an Israelite or you're an Egyptian. You're either safe from the judgment or you're not safe. So which will it be? Stick with Christ. Now, of course, the Hebrew Christians were facing this great big dilemma. It's actually a dilemma that all Christians will face because all Christians will face persecution. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says this. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So here's the dilemma. In the face of inevitable persecution, you either leave Christ and the persecution will stop and life will get easier, but you will then face God's judgment without protection. There'll be nowhere to hide. So you can either leave Christ or two, you can stick with Christ. The persecution may not go away. In fact, the persecution may get much harder. It may cost you an awful lot personally. But here's the thing. You'll be safe in the blood of Christ when judgment comes. And this is really, really important for all of us. You and I are going to face persecution for being Christians at some point. That's a promise of the Bible. We will face persecution. Some of us already will be facing that persecution. Maybe the pressure is to conform at work, to conform to the spirit of the age, to sign up to a cause that everyone else at work is signing up to, but as a Christian in conscience, you can't do it. And some of us may be feeling the pressure again and again to stay silent as Christians in certain social situations for fear of being ostracised, even if that's with really close family, even if that's with friends who we've known and loved for a long time. The pressure will be to be silent very often. Then if you know about the organisation, the Christian Institute, well, they regularly are providing legal help to Christians who are being challenged in the public sphere just for sticking with Christ. Of course, maybe that's not the situation for you at the moment, but we can be sure that for all of us, the bite will come at some point. And perhaps at some point, we too will be tempted to start to think, maybe the cost of following Christ is just too high. Well, here's the thing. There is a bigger thing than persecution in this life. And that's the eternal judgment of God. Remember back to Hebrews 9 verse 27. We're all destined to die once and after that face judgment. The world around us laughs at the idea that there's an objective judgment from a holy God. But as Christians, we need to remember that day with reverence. And by faith, stick with the Lord Jesus that will protect us. Sometimes people have said the cost of following Jesus is just too high. Well, Hebrew reminds us that the cost of not following Jesus is too high. In fact, it's far higher. Because, of course, when the judgment comes, only Christ's blood can save. So we've got to stick with him. And when judgment comes, it's only going to be the people of God who are saved. So we need to stick with them. We need to remain as part of the people of God. So as we close, let's ask God's help to do that. Heavenly Father, we confess that we're often tempted to drift away from our Lord Jesus Christ. Please help us to remember that keeping safe in the coming judgment is more important than an easy life now. And please help us to keep trusting Christ, who will keep us 100% safe on that last day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.